fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with our guest this week is Dr. Joey McCoy. Joey just recently graduated from Michigan Med School, and he's now working with an organization at Renewal Ministries called ID916, which is an outreach to young people in their 20s and 30s, helping lead them really to encounter Christ and into a life of discipleship. It's one of the small signs of many good things that are happening in the church today. If you didn't have a chance to listen to the program so far this week, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them and listen to them on whatever device you have that allow you to do it at your own leisure. Welcome back, Joey.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah. I think one of the themes that we've talked about over the last couple of days but didn't really drill into very much is that of the urgency of the moment. Part of what you're responding to and what you feel like God's called you to do is really corresponds to the kind of urgency that we're facing, that the challenge the church is facing today is dramatic.
Yeah.
There's an enormous collision between the culture, wider secular culture, and the church. Many, many people are leaving the church for a variety of reasons you've already talked about. We could talk about some more. But that what's needed, this line from Father Cantalamessa goes through my mind regularly now. He said, you know, the church has an infinite capacity for regeneration.
Right.
And he said, because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father and all power and glory literally are his. And the same capacity to win human hearts is there. The question is, on our end, are we ready to radically respond to him in a way that others have done at times when the church has really flourished and grown in the midst of trial and difficulty?
Yeah. And the challenging thing about radically responding to him as a church is probably going to mean that our status quo way of doing things is really going to have to change. And that's going to make a lot of people very uncomfortable, because people who are already in the church, they're already there, so they like the status quo, obviously, or else they wouldn't be there. Or at least they can tolerate the status quo. And anyway, change is never easy, right? But we are no longer living in Christendom. Mm-hmm. Let me just say, I ran across this quote that I thought was really, it was really helpful. Simply assuming that what we understand about the church, all of our inherited ideas, all of the Christendom constructs, and those ways of doing church, and thinking that they will negotiate the 21st century whirlwind and the turn into a post-Christian era, it's naive at best, and it's dangerous thinking at worst. This person says, we are now in the time of the great recalibration. That's the thing of our day. And what he means by the great recalibration is kind of trying to return to some of the apostolic ways of being the church, which we see in the first 300, 600 years, really, of the church's existence. And sometimes we can think of those things, especially as Catholics, we can think of the church as the 1300s, right? When Christendom was in full go. But the Catholic Church was just as much the Catholic Church in 150 AD when it didn't have any buildings, any budgets, any of the elaborate structures that we see nowadays. And we have to ask ourselves, are there a lot of things that belong to a Christendom way of being and thinking that we're still kind of holding on to, and we think that they are essential to the ways of the church doing the church and the gospel being the gospel? But then we have to ask ourselves in response to that question is, well, in the beginning, the church didn't have those things. And it was just, it was Catholic as well. So I think the next couple of decades, if you want my opinion, I'll give it to you. The next couple of decades are going to be, they're going to be challenging for a lot of people, in that if we actually want to have a new evangelization, we want to have a new missionary moment, there's a lot that we're going to have to change in terms of how we think church is supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking of John Paul II in, I think it was Novo Millennio Aeniente, a document. He said, you know, Christendom, that time in the church history when whole countries and whole cultures were informed by the church in many ways, and had respect for the church. And the church was a go-to place for the majority of the population. And they were hungry and interested in living the pattern of life that the church wanted to lead them into. He said that time when governments and law and institutions respected the church, he said that period is now gone. That was his phrase. He said, it's just gone. So we're not in a Christendom time. We're in an apostolic time, small a. We're in a time now where people aren't coming to the church in the way they once did. They're not looking to the church in the way they once did. We talked, was it Monday, about statistics across the U.S. are now like Europe among the younger generation.
Right.
There is a turning away from the faith in a way that we've never seen before quite like this. And so what it does then, it leads people to be discouraged.
Yeah.
It leads people to kind of panic and say the answer's back there somewhere, in the sense of we need to keep the form of everything. And
right.
I love what Cardinal Ratzinger said at one point. He said, much of what we do in the church can change. The only thing that can't change is what we've been given directly by Christ.
Yeah.
The basic message itself, the priesthood, the sacraments of the church. And he said, beyond that, a lot of what we do can change. And so we have to be in a position to be able to say, what's our fundamental purpose for being a church?
Right.
It's to make disciples of all nations and say, are we effectively tooled right now to make that happen?
Yeah, right? And anything that we hold on to that doesn't make that happen is essentially an idol. Mm-hmm. And it's a way in which we are trying to hold on to things that are now dead things because they don't produce any life. And Jesus, when he walked by the fig tree and saw that it wasn't producing fruit, he didn't just allow the tree to die, he made it die. Because he knew that, like, okay, you know a tree by its fruit. There needs to be a new tree here.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of trees, I think, not just me who thinks, that there are a lot of trees that are not bearing fruit right now in the church. And we have to have the courage to allow those things to die so that we can move into a different way of doing things and a different way. And none of this means to be, like, you know, iconoclastic or anything like that. If we want the church to persist and to be who she is, the irony is we shouldn't look at the church. I think sometimes the church can be an idol for us, and we get, what is it, ecclesiocentric. And if we try to build the church by just looking at the church and think, okay, this is how she looks, so this is how she must always look, instead of looking at Jesus and going back to the scripture, going back to the catechism and putting these things together and say, okay, what is actually essential here? And what can we have, like Augustine's old thing, unity in the essential things, diversity in the non-essential things, and in all things love. So we have to think about what are the things that we actually must change in order to be the missionaries that we need to be. And I think the central focus that I think you brought it up, the central focus of how we should think about this shift is the church is, you always return to your mission, right? At every organization, when it's going off kilter, you return to your mission, you return to your vision. Our mission, which Jesus very clearly lays out in Matthew chapter 28, the last words of our commanding officers, go make disciples of all nations. The mission of the church is to be disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. It's supposed to be a multiplication of disciples. And so in our current cultural context, we have to ask ourselves, what are the environments, what are the structures of church that allow for that to happen? Mm-hmm. And it's probably not the way we've been doing things, because it's obviously not happening. And we think we can build the church and we'll get disciples out of it, if we even do think about the word disciple. But it's exactly the opposite. We just got to make disciples and we'll get the church as a result.
Yeah, it's almost counterintuitive, you know, to kind of the way we're operating.
Yeah.
You make disciples is how the church grows.
Yeah.
Focusing on the church just doing everything she's supposed to do every day, without thinking about the main thing we're here for is to seek and save the lost. The main thing we're here for is to reach people with the message of Christ, to bring them into the faith, into baptism, and to disciple them. And to disciple them means to help them not only be converted, not only be in communion with the church, but to be, as John Paul II said, to be fundamentally missionary in their whole outlook to life. Pope Francis and Evangelii Gaudium say, I am a mission in this world. Every single baptized Catholic ought to say that, because that truly is our identity. Fine, I can say that, but what does that mean, I'm a mission in this world? Well, the mission is, go make disciples of all nations.
Right. We won't think that way if we think the church is mainly just a club, or it's a think tank that we're attracted to, or it's a morality that makes me comfortable, which can very easily tend into moralism and legalism. We won't think that kind of way if we're thinking in those regards, because we won't think about discipleship You know, we won't think about, what does the word disciple mean? Why is the disciple the key of what we're doing? Isn't it just being a Catholic? Isn't it just being part of this body?
I think building on that, to be a disciple, the reason discipleship is so important and being a disciple is because that's what Jesus said, go make disciples.
Right.
Okay, so if we're going to make disciples, what's a disciple?
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So give a couple different definitions of disciple. So disciple is someone who's growing more and more every day to worship Jesus in all of life, be transformed by Jesus in all of life, and obey Jesus in all of life. Or another way you can say a disciple is someone who makes disciples. And if you're seeing someone make disciples, then you know they're a disciple. And that's almost the greatest litmus test there is. But we don't have the environments right now that best grow those kinds of people, that allow for those, you know, like in the Easter Vigil, the candles touching the candle, and all of a sudden the whole church is lit up. We don't have the environment which allow the candles to touch a lot right now, I don't think. So our churches don't get lit up, you know, they just stay dark. And we try to perpetuate the institution so that we can perpetuate the institution. But we have lost sight of our mission because we've lost, in a lot of ways, we've lost sight of our Lord. We've lost sight of Jesus. In a lot of ways, we need to repent because we no longer look at him. And we lost our first love. You know, like Jesus very early on accuses some of the early churches in Revelation. That what is it, Ephesians? Mm-hmm. It's like, you've lost your first love. Do not lose your first love. We need to continually go back over and over again to who is Jesus and what does it mean to follow him right now.
What are we doing? We're exactly. bringing him to the world.
Right.
You know?
Ephesians 4 talks about, Ephesians is like the constitutional letter on what the church is and should be and all that. And Paul talks about he gives gifts, and some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're just supposed to grow into little Jesuses, you know? How do you do that unless you look at Jesus and say, how did you live your life? I love you. You are excellent. You are the prologue. How'd you live your life? That's how I want to live my life. And the way he lived his life was he made disciples. And so part of us living as Jesus lived is going to be, okay, how do I help make disciples? Every single Catholic must think that way.
Yeah. You talk about the size of the seismic shift that has to happen and change that has to go on. The recent popes have all put their finger on very clearly to say, church exists to evangelize. Evangelization means making disciples of all nations, seeking and saving the lost. And it's normative. They said that every baptized Catholic would both understand that, and whatever vocational life they're in, they would be engaged in it, and they would both speak and proclaim the message of Jesus, they would live the message of Jesus, and they would testify to people what it means that they're living the message of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's normative.
Yeah.
But the reality is 90% or more people, in many of the studies you see, never ever do that.
Right.
So that just shows you how broken, how much of a turn we need to make. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. It's been great talking with you about this, Joey. I think change is in the air, but not for change's sake. But it's a change that needs to happen so we can lay hold of the fundamental vision and engage it more fully in our time. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.